السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. This program 8:30 to runs through till 9 o'clock. On a Tuesday, you know, we have our honorable guest. Not a guest, really. He is a presenter of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, programs at night being done by Mulana Musa Lahe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, I hope you're keeping well.
And alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We're happy and to meet you over the airwaves. And inshallah, soon we meet. We haven't met as yet. I think I did meet Mulana, but I don't think Mulana probably noticed, or that time we didn't know exactly who's who. I knew Mulana. I think we met at a few family because of our CII, Uncle Ashraf, all of that. They are family to us. So nonetheless, hope Mulana is well. How's the weather?
Alhamdulillah. We've had some rocky weather over the last few days here in Cape Town. Yesterday was a beautiful day. The sun came out after about a week, so we got to enjoy the sun. But today the sun is gone again.
Alhamdulillah. So Mulana, today in South Africa, the 9th of Muharram, 1446, Saudi Arabia, it is the 10th, so the day of Ashura already. If a person decides they just woke up now, inshallah they read Fajr Salah, but they went back to sleep. They woke up now and they decided, you know what, I want to fast. And the best is to fast 9th, 10th, 11th. That is the ultimate best. So they decided, no, we want to fast today. And can they fast? What's the ruling?
Jee, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Absolutely, they can fast. You know, alhamdulillah, it's always good to, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ الرَّمَضَانِ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. The best of, and the most virtuous of fast after Ramadan Sharif is the fast of the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala refers to this as شَهْرُ اللَّهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to this as شَهْرُ اللَّهِ, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Muharram. So definitely, you know, a person has gotten up, he hasn't consumed anything, and he wants to keep the fast today. Alhamdulillah, bismillah, go ahead, fast. The days are short. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us also. And so you keep the fast then today and tomorrow. Not only today, tomorrow is the 10th of Muharram, so you will fast tomorrow also. And if you want to fast again on Wednesday, bismillah, alhamdulillah, why not nurun ala nur? That is the best of the best. Alternatively, Maulana, those that are not fasting today, for whatever reason, alhamdulillah, it's no problem. It's something that is mustahab. It is something that is sunnah. It's something that is advisable. But again, it is not a farz fast. But those that wish to fast tomorrow, you know, they're not fasting today. They fast tomorrow, and then they will fast on Wednesday as well. So 2 days. And there's a very specific reason. Now, people will say, okay, the main day is tomorrow. 100%. Tomorrow is the main day. That is the 10th of Muharram. So why do we fast either the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th, or the 9th, 10th, and 11th? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Madinatul Munawwara, he saw the Jews fasting on the 10th of Muharram. And he inquired from them that, why are you fasting on this particular day? So they replied, this is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from Fir'aun. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned that we have more right over Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, we definitely have more right, because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a Muslim. However, why we keep the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th, is that we have to also, and this is an important and critical point, Maulana, is to khaliful Yahud, is to go against the grain of what the kuffar are doing. So they are only fasting on the 10th. So we will fast on the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th, simply to oppose their methodology. We shouldn't be like sheep and follow what the Yahud and the Nasara are doing. And that is not only in this fast, but in every aspect. Mm. In every aspect of our lives, we should try to go against the grain, so to speak, when it comes to following the kuffar's ways.
And there is the principle that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is trying to drill in us, that oppose them. And this is what Mulana has mentioned in so many aspects. Mulana, I was just thinking this morning also that we constantly try to see how we can match the kuffar, but we have our own way. We don't need to match them. So if I'm over the airwaves, so I have to see now, let me see how John Robbie used to do his programs on 702. But that shouldn't be the case, because we are Muslimin, we have our own ways. So we don't constantly have to match the kuffar in everything that they do. Mulana, you can just highlight more on this in different ways, how before you get, so they would say Mother's Day, Father's Day, and now Muharram, they say Ashura Mubarak, giving gifts and spreading all of this, and they'll use the hadiths, give gifts and all of this. Where do we draw the line and say, you know what, this year is not part of it?
Gee. Okay, so there's two important points you've brought up here, Mulana. First of all, when it comes to Khaliful Yahud wal Mushrikeen wal Kuffar, opposing the Western ideologies and the Western methods of lifestyle and what have you, this is something that, unfortunately, for some reason, I don't know why it is, but Muslims around the world, and it's not exclusive to South Africa, it's everywhere around the world, we tend to fall somewhat short, and we have this inferiority complex that, you know what, okay, every single thing that we do, we need to follow the kuffar. So much so that you'll remember, Maulana, a few years ago, there was this whole hype up in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia with regards to nail polish, right? So all the ladies were now painting their nails and what have you. And then they said, no, you know, it's not water resistant, and it's not this, and it's not that. Now, leave all that shaky masail to the muftis, right? Mm. At the end of the day, painting your nails is the way of the kuffar. So why do we need to now stoop to that level whereby we have to, you know, no, we have to do it, and it's not waterproof, and the water seeps through it, or if it is waterproof, then, you know, unfortunately, the haya even got lost at that time, whereby the women folk were saying, okay, we'll only wear this nail polish or you know, paint our nails when we are not reading salah. Mm. Now, what are we doing? We're advertising to the whole ummah that, listen, I'm not in a park state, so for the next 10 days or 7 days or 8 days, whatever it may be, my nails are going to be painted, and I'm going to parade around like this year. And Maulana, it's gotten so bad that if you look specifically in the Middle East, and it's crept here into South Africa as well, every second person has their nails painted, and, you know, there's just absolutely no care or concern with regards to the fiqh part of things. But again, I'm saying, let's leave the fiqh out of this. Let's leave the jurisprudence out of this. Why do we need to do this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that a woman should wear mehndi, right? Henna. And for some reason, that hasn't been sufficient for us. So now we need to paint our nails like rainbow colors, looking like a clown, sometimes even multiple colors. And what are we doing it for? A woman can be in hijab, full niqab, but the moment she paints her nails and exposes it, then she draws attention to herself. She draws attention to herself. And we defeat the whole purpose of the niqab, of the hijab, of the parda. Why? Because we need to look like clowns. The same with menfolk. Maulana, my late Sheikh, Maulana Yunus Fadel Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, he would emphatically speak against menfolk wearing the color pink. It's not a color for a man. It's definitely, and he would make a joke. He would say that, you know, 20 years ago, and I'm talking now maybe 30, 40 years ago, if a person was even buried in a pink coffin, that person would get up from his janazah and say, hey, you're not burying me in this year. But today, men proudly wear pink and purple and all the various shades of it, right up to pink socks. And you come into a masjid, you know, sometimes you don't realize what color socks a person is wearing. And then next thing you go down for ruku, and obviously your gaze will fall onto the next person's feet, and you see, wow, this guy's wearing pink socks. I mean, come on, pink socks. So where did this all come from? It came from the kuffar. They taught us that, you know what, there's nothing wrong with a man wearing pink. Whereas we know for a fact, pink is not a man's color. It's a woman's color. It's a child's color. I have two small daughters. They are pink obsessive with everything. Everything needs to be pink or violet or purple or those type of colors. And I would only imagine if I had to come out of my room one day, Allah protect me, with a pink or purple kurta, how they would respond to it. I mean, they're innocent. Children are innocent. At the end of the day, they're going to speak their mind. But we've reached that stage where it's become an acceptable norm. Why? Because the West has taught us that it's acceptable for men to wear pink. Similarly, in every aspect of our lives, every aspect. Maulana, you live in Lens. Lens has a population of whatever, 1 million, 1.5 million, whatever it may be. Right. I would say comfortably, 80%, if not more, of the people don't wear kurta, right? However, why is that? The kurta, the thawb, the libas, libasu sunnah, this is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lanesia has the most amount of masajid, darul ulum, girls' madrasas, khankas, even radio stations, Islamic radio stations, right, in the entire country. So the amount of propagation of deen is profound. But why do we find that still there's a vast majority of people, Muslim people I'm talking, that are not wearing the sunnah libas? Why? Again, it's Western influences. We have fallen short and we feel inferior that, you know what, how can I wear this? Two pieces of cloth and a simple thing. I need to wear my suit. I need to wear my tie. I need to wear my shirt. I need to wear my jeans. And sometimes, subhanallah, Maulana, I have a friend and he's a lawyer. So he's a professional. But because he owns his own firm, he has the luxury of going to work at his own pace and what have you. And sometimes, most of the time, he's wearing jeans and t-shirt. But his jeans are forever torn. And the ones he came with us to on a relief expedition, and he was wearing these torn and tattered jeans. And I told him, Bay, you know what? You are confusing the public here. They think you, the recipient, not the person that's giving, because you look so poor. Your jeans are torn left, right. And he's telling me the cost of those jeans are actually much more than an uncut jean, so to speak. And I said, you know, ash-shababatu shu'batu min al-junun. You guys are crazy to wear these type of things. But that's what this Western fashion has done. It's made us stupid idiots, stupid fools, that you will actually think this person on the street, if you see him, you'll think, you know what, hey, bichara, this person is struggling. Let me just take out a 5 rand and give him, you know, maybe he can buy some better clothes or whatever. But that has become the passion. Mm. It has made us oblivious of the true strength or the true, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah ta'ala jameelun yuhibbul jamal." Allah ta'ala is beautiful. He loves beauty. So even when you're wearing your thobe, your kurta, it should be ironed. It should be neat. It should be, you know, subhanallah. But I wrap my head around this thing to think that to what level are we stooping when it comes to this fashion industry? And you know what? The West is beating us in that. Mm. The West is giving us a hiding left, right, and center. Mm. Yes, we have the best of fashion, and that is the Sunnah of Nabi
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As Mulana is speaking, I'm just going through, catching a little bit of glimpses of the past of when we were growing up. And that's why I just want to highlight this to the parents of today, that we shouldn't be living like Mufti AK Sub says in Alice in Wonderland. That when I was in school, so we had the service day. I'm not sure, Mulana, was it in Zimbabwe?
Yes.
And I know for a fact, our school, Wendywood High School, here close to Marlboro, they never had a problem with us dressing the Islamic attire for service day. You could do it. For others, for other days, you had to wear the uniform. But now, this is a true test of our iman. How many of us Muslims used to actually wear the kurta, the thobe, to show that this is what we are Muslims. In fact, even the beard, if you were sincere in growing your beard, if you wrote to them, to the principal, he wouldn't mind. And he would say, okay, it's fine, you've got permission. But how many of us actually took up that courage? This is where we see. So it's highly important that we remove this inferiority complex which we have. And that's where it starts. I feel personally it started in school. Because you're always trying to keep up with, hey, they're going to wear this for service. They're going to do this. We're always trying to keep up with them. But when will we say, you know what? Leave them. I'm going to do my own thing. As a Muslim, I'm going to follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They must be amazed with my attire, not the other way around. In this, if we had this, and I was saying this earlier in the program, when we, those who change and reform in that, when we come into Islam fully, meaning, then what happens? We just do it haphazardly. But imagine the youth of today to be systematic, and they had to really mobilize together, utilize, like the other day was just amazed at the Jamaat of our masjid, how they, the youth are systematic in what they are doing. And it's having a good effect, because it's not just, okay, today we go for Gersh, tomorrow. No, who is this youngster? Where is he from? Why, how can we focus on him? And this is ideally what's lacking in the Ummah, and we need to work on this. So, Mulana Sahab, we appreciate those comments and those pieces of advice. Mulana, another thing that we want to address here is that those who are fasting, the whole month of Muharram, as Mulana has mentioned, the hadith, best month to fast after Ramadan. But we're fasting on the one end, but then on the other end, we're doing so much of crime, criminal activity in terms of the Sharia. We are gossiping, we are doing. Mulana, advise us on this, how we can enter into Islam fully, so we fast, and at the same time, we don't squander that time fasting by doing other actions.
Maulana, you know, if you go to the Akabirin, the Mashayikh, and you are sincere in Reformation, Islam, and you ask them that, you know what, I've got so much of heat within me. And look, it's natural. Sometimes the person has to be open and say, you know what, I've got this lust that's overtaking me, and I've got desires, and I can't keep my eyes straight, and what have you. So what is the first thing that they will tell you to do is to keep consecutive fast, right? Because the moment the stomach is full, the nafs is happy, you know? He's jumping around, and that's what creates all these problems. But when the stomach is empty, the nafs is somewhat suppressed. Somewhat. not entirely, somewhat suppressed, to a large degree and to a large extent. Now the balance of the 20% or 25%, that has to come from within. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's created this nafs within us, which is good, in the sense that it reminds us now we're hungry, we're tired, we need to, etc., all of those things. But at the same time, the nafs, it likes to jump towards fitna and haram. Hmm. And so we have to curtail, we have to cut this nafs and have control over it. Because if we're not going to control the nafs will control us. And, you know, you see so many people, they are fasting. The hadith says that a person who is making ghibat, he has been fasting, but all he's done is he stayed away from food and drink. Nothing else. Fasting, especially now, these Mubarak days, it is an ibadat. Mm. You know, if you in salah, right? And I'm talking about now maybe Taraweeh salah, right? So the youngsters in the back sometimes, the smaller children, nabaligh children, they'll be a little bit naughty. They'll be eating chappies while salah is on, or they'll be eating sweets. So we overlook it because, you know what, they're small children, right? But we tell them that, listen, you're not allowed to eat while... Now imagine if the Imam Sahib is reading Surah Al-Fatiha, and after Waladdalin Ameen, he puts his hand in the pocket, he opens a nice lunch bar or Kit Kat or whatever it is, he wants to take a break, eh? And he starts chomping on that Kit Kat during the salah. The musallis will throw him out of the window. Mm. You know, you can't be eating during salah. It's going to nullify your salah. So the same thing, when we regard the fast as ibadat, then we have to be excessively and impressively in control of our gaze, of our tongue, of our ears, of our hands. You know, sometimes a person will be fasting, but all day is texting his Layla. All day texting. So, you know, you are committing zina of the eyes, you're committing zina of the hands, you're sending voice notes, you're sending roses, you're doing all of these things, you know. But you fasting? No, no, I kept the fast of Muharram. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Everybody says MashaAllah. But what type of fast? What quality of fast? So that is also very important. Maulana, I just want to say one thing also. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of these, Lal, Mufti Sahib refers to it as Lal Kitab. Mm. Red Kitab. You know, that have been brought down from the Indo-Pak. And perhaps somewhere else also, progenies to come. So a person at the time of iftar, they say that, you know, you must have green milkshake and red milkshake, and the red milkshake denotes the blood of Sayyidina Hussein, and the green milkshake denotes the poison of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And, you know, they do funny things like that there. You see, at the end of the day, we need to keep steadfast on our true prestige Sharia. All these things, green milkshake, red milkshake. But you want to have, I'll tell you, you want to have pink milkshake, you want to have purple milkshake. No problem, you can have. Right? But don't denote it to something as, you know, I'm having pink milkshake because it's the blood of Sayyidina Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Or purple milkshake because it's this year, you know. And all of those things. And then gifts, Maulana, it's become a commercial. This Muharram, Ashura, has become very commercialized. Mm. So now people feel, no, you know, you must give gifts to everyone and gifts to the whole Ummah. The Hadith doesn't say anything about gifts. The Hadith says, spend on your family. Your family. Who's your family? Your dependents. Your wife. Your children, that's it. Parents, alhamdulillah, if they with you, then mashallah, your parents. But that's about it. That's where it ends. Now you want to give the cousins and the dozens and the and this year, and that is completely something that is foreign to our Sharia. Spend on your family. Allah Ta'ala will give you barakah the whole year. But now, you know, people want to buy Muharram gifts. So now you buy a musalla, or there's so many gifts that people make specifically for Muharram. It's a good way of making money, but I mean, at the end of the day, what are you doing? You're selling your Sharia. You're selling your deen. So stay away from all these things. Spend, I'm saying you should spend on your family. Normally you give your wife maybe 500 rand for her personal expenses. Now, within your budget, you can take out the extra 200 rand, give her the 200 rand. You can give her extra 1,000 rand, give her the 1,000 rand. You want to buy something for your children, some clothes, even some toys or so, no problem. Buy it for them, but some books or something, no problem. Bismillah, you want to buy something extra for your father, your mother, alhamdulillah, give them a little bit. Best is give cash, because we don't know what the needs are. I'm not saying to the children, but to the parents, to the wife, there you give cash. To the children, mashallah, you use your own discretion and you buy for whatever they need. They've been troubling you for so long, but buy good things, beneficial things. Now, don't go and buy them a new cell phone and then you're dealing with another problem. Buy them good things that will be beneficial.
Well, and I see we have 2 minutes left, and inshallah, in these 2 minutes, Mulana can just advise us on different things. What's happening in Cape Town? What's the latest fitna that people are engaging in as well? And inshallah, like this, because that's how we keep together with knowing what we should be warned of, staying away from these things. Like Mufti Saab always says, wearing black, like just recently, Mulana came to give a talk on Muharram, but head from top to bottom, full in black. And this was recently. And this is exactly what the Shia say you must do. Wear black. The men, of course, women, they wear it normally. But now just to take that extra effort and say, I'm going to wear black, as Mulana said about the milkshake. So we're just going to wear it white to mourn. This is not the way. So as now we know we mustn't do it. So like these, are there any other aspects which we need to be warned of?
So, Maulana, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, they denote the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the whole Karbala, etc., to 10th of Muharram. In Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, we don't have a special day of celebrating any martyrs. If any martyr was to be celebrated, it would have been Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was Sayyidu Shuhada. He was the king of the martyrs. But we never find that after Uhud, the following year, on that particular day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down with the companions and he said, right, today is exactly 1 year anniversary and, you know, my uncle was killed, and he was killed so brutally. So now today, everybody has to be on a downer, you know. It was never like that. And remember, Muharram came about, Ashura came about, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we love the Ahlul Bayt. You know, this is what a lot of the Shias, they say, but the Sunni Muslims, as they refer to us, they don't love. We love the Ahlul Bayt. But we don't make khulu when it comes to the Ahlul Bayt. We don't go to an extreme, you know, when it comes to the Ahlul Bayt or any Sahabi for that matter. Ashura came about not at the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not at the martyrdom even of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not at the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but long before that, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam's time. That's when Ashura came about. And hence, we don't celebrate Ashura, but we celebrate the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day had saved Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam from the treachery of Fir'aun. So we must always keep our eyes open when it comes to these type of things.
Jazakumullah khairan. Mulana Saab, make dua for us and remember the ummah as well. Appreciate your time.
Barakallahu feekum. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.